Hey guys, Cody here, just reminding you that the best wrestlers in the world are coming to Iowa for the UWW World Cup at Extreme Arena in Coralville this December 10th and 11th. This one-of-a-kind dual-style competition features the world's very best men's and women's freestyle wrestlers repping their home countries and going head-to-head to decide who is the best wrestling country on the planet. You'll get to see Team USA's biggest wrestling stars like Jordan Burroughs, Kyle Snyder, Tamra Mensah-Stock, Helen Narulis, so many more. There's no better time than now to be a USA wrestling fan, and there's no better time than now to get your tickets. Be sure to go to worldcupcoralville.com. I put links in the show notes so that you guys can get all the information you need. You're not going to want to miss this. One more time, get your tickets at worldcupcoralville.com.
Number one, obviously, all glory to God.
And then there's a Canvas, the most efficient organization on the planet.
I'm going to put a plug in because we're in the damn state of Iowa.
Bobby Telfer, I'm the baddest man on the planet.
Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. Cody Goodwin here, the Register's wrestling writer, and I'm glad you're here. Happy December 1st, Thursday. Got a big duel coming up in Iowa City. Got a lot of fun wrestling actually coming up in Johnson County this weekend. The Dan Gable Donnybrook starts today. Going to run Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But Sunday is what we're here to talk about. Big Cy-Hawk duel, 1:30 p.m. at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. And to continue to discuss the Cy-Hawk duel, brought on a couple of former Cyclone wrestlers, Michael Marino and Kyvan Gadson, to discuss the duel from the Cyclone perspective. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Good. Doing good. Trying not to freeze. My gym back here has got no heating, so I'm cold.
I'm doing well myself.
It is I don't like how consistently cold it has been. Cause clearly I'm still dealing with like a sinus thing. I was sick over the week of Thanksgiving and now we're hopefully on the back end of it. But the good news about, like, I feel like we always, like, you know, it gets cold for a bit and then we go back and finish fall and then we really get cold. And I feel like we haven't gone back to finish fall yet.
Yeah. It's kind of like that false peak.
Yeah. And now it's just like cold all the time. And I'm not a fan of the cold, but the cold means that it's wrestling season, which is something that we're all a fan of. We appreciate you guys tuning in today, whether you're listening on your favorite podcast app or now we're trying to do this YouTube thing, which explains the video here. Today, going to talk obviously a lot about Cy-Hawk, about the juice and the intensity and the rivalry. I know last year emotions ran high. Kyvan, wanted to pick your perspective there because you were right there next to the Iowa bench and had some extra help on the commentary. We'll talk about what you remember from that. Lots of big matchups in this duel, you know, just kind of looking at the rankings. There's, you know, what, 13 wrestlers between both schools that are ranked in the top 20. You know, a handful of, you know, all-American caliber matchups that we're going to get to. Also going to ask you guys for your predictions. But first, wanted to start today's show with favorite Cy-Hawk memories. You guys both All-Americans for Iowa State. Kyvan, you won a national title. But I looked up some stats. Cy-Hawk records for you two. Kyvan, you were spotless, man. 3-0 in Cy-Hawk duels in your career. Mike, not so much. 1-3 against Iowa in your career. What happened, man? Like, what do you remember?
Well, I'd like to clarify. I was 2-3. One of my wins was not in the duel. It was at the first round of the national tournament.
Okay, that's fair. We'll count it.
In Wells Fargo Arena. So that's might as well have been, you know.
We'll count it. So yeah. 2-3. The Cy-Hawk duel, the matchup, the rivalry, like what are some of your favorite memories?
My personal favorite memory from my own is winning in Carver. My lone duel win was in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And, you know, Kyvan will attest to this, but it is a very raucous crowd. You know, it's a lot going on, and that's just, you know, from the volume level, from what you're hearing being yelled at directly at you, right? It can get pretty, go sideways pretty quick, right? And it turns from an exciting energy to a, you know, if you let it creep into your mind and get under your skin, it can very quickly turn into an anxious energy if you let it, right? So being able to go into Carver and get a win and wrestle and do it pretty well, right? Do it pretty handily. I feel like that match, probably one of my better matches that year, as far as just being able to control the tempo, the pace, the environment, just being able to take the, you know, everybody in the stands out of that environment was something that I look back on pretty fondly, right? Being able to just kind of control from start to finish, you know, being able, obviously he was always getting the first takedown, but after that, I feel like it was kind of, you know, I remember it being kind of a little bit more my sided. And then, you know, after the match and just kind of looking around and it's quiet. It's the loudest quiet you'll ever hear, right? And I know Kyvan will agree, right? When it gets that quiet in Carver and it's because of you, it's pretty cool, right? So that's to me, from my personal experience, you know, I have other memories from when I was a kid, but that was for me one of my favorites is winning there.
Absolutely.
What about you, Kyvan, wrestling in that series, in that rivalry against those guys?
Well, kind of like Mike alluded to, like I have memories from when I was a kid, you know, growing up as a Iowa State, you know, offspring with my like dad. So like those were enjoyable for sure. For me personally, I think it would probably be I think the win in Hilton it meant a lot to me. A couple days before that, like my shoulder had came out again. So the doctor, Dr. Buck that did my shoulder surgery was like, hey, you're not going to wrestle this weekend in the Cy-Hawk. And I genuinely believed we had an opportunity to win as a team and compete at a high level. And so I was like, well, basically, doc, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get a takedown in the first minute. And I'm going to just hold position the rest of the match. Like, I know that my shoulder won't allow me to really go out there and be like my normal self, but I will figure out how to win the match 3-2. And that's just what it's going to be. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be something that's like, oh man, he just wrestled so great, you know. And I was wrestling Sam Brooks, who was moving up from 84, but I did exactly that. I came out, I hit him with a slide by, got the takedown, and then basically just held position, which, you know, Hawk fans might consider stalling, but I had one arm to work with, and I'm really proud of that one. And then, I mean, Mike kind of talked about it, like in Carver, having the ability to quiet people my senior year and then get them riled up again. Because we started the match and Chris Claprock, like, wanted to do the whole Tony Ramos staring contest. And I'm like, dog, like, everybody's like, you're their favorite backup. What are we doing? And after the match, I wanted to do staring contest after I pinned him. And he didn't want to look at me in the eyes anymore. And then the ref got mad at me. I was mad about an array of different things, as well as I think the way some of our teammates competed. And I threw my headgear, got a team point deducted, encouraged the crowd to, you know, boo me. And yeah, Mike actually had to guide me to the back, because I was I guess hot, angry, disappointed, you know. And so that would be a favorite bad memory, good memory slash.
Seemed to be a I don't know how you describe it, foreshadowing, right? Because another 97-pounder threw his headgear and cost Iowa State a team point last year, right? Like that was honestly one of the first things that came to my mind when Younger did that last year.
Yeah,
A-plus on the headgear spike, but I was also like, hey, like, you know, yeah. Well, you had mentioned on the broadcast that you did that as well.
I was off the mat though. Like, that's my thing. Like, I was off the mat when I threw the headgear, and it wasn't like it was directed at anyone but like my teammates, because I felt like we had more. And then I think a lot of the times in that specific duel, we failed to showcase that. And, you know, growing up as a kid in the Cy-Hawk and seeing it, you're like, yo, like, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Like, Mike and I grew up watching this. We know kind of what it would take, and how important it was, you know, to us, our families, the university. And so I think we had a sense of pride in competing in it. And I just felt like sometimes we didn't always get to display that collectively across the 10 weight classes.
That's an interesting perspective. 'Cause you guys are both, you know, Iowa natives. You've grown up watching and listening and hearing about this rivalry, not just in wrestling, but in all sports, but specifically for wrestling. Kyvan, I'll throw this one back to you. Like, what's it like growing up on the Cyclone side of the Cy-Hawk wrestling rivalry? You know, and I don't ask this as like, yeah, like Iowa State's the little brother, but like very clearly Iowa has dominated the series, right? Especially, you know, in recent years. What's it like growing up on the Cyclone side of the Cy-Hawk rivalry when Iowa's kind of been that team?
I mean, from my perspective, it was like I felt disrespected by like the staff, like they didn't recruit me, you know, and whether I was going to Iowa State or not, like they didn't come on an in-house visit. They didn't do those things that you, in my opinion, should do for a top kid in the state, you know, and I was one of those top kids in the state. I did get a call, but there was nothing that followed that. And so for me, it was just like, even though I knew I was going to Iowa State and I probably would never even entertain putting on an Iowa singlet, I was going to make you guys pay for that or make the, you know, the Hawks pay for that. And so anytime I wrestled a guy from Iowa, it was, you know, it was personal, kind of like that Michael Jordan thing. Like, you know, I made it personal and I wanted to make sure that they felt that energy, you know. And so it was tough, though. I mean, I got to be there when we won in 05 in Carver, because I still lived in Iowa City at that point. And so growing up as a kid, not seeing us win often was tough. And that's why when I decided to go to Iowa State, it was like I wanted to be a part of carrying that out. And I think that's where a lot of that frustration, like, boiled over, you know, like my senior year, because it was like, I don't have another opportunity to do this. And we let 5 years go past without even making it, you know, remotely close.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, similar. I mean, the hard part about growing up just on this side of the fence, right, is, I mean, it's just in the stats, but it never deterred me away from my loyalties. You know, I mean, I never in a million years considered, you know, even going out like Kyvan. I didn't get a call from Iowa, and that was fine with me. You know, I would have thought it would be pretty strange to get that call. They know me. They know Kyvan too. You know, they know our parents. They know our dads. They probably knew better, right? But at the end of the day, you use that, especially when you're a young kid like that. You know, you're in your late teens, early 20s. You know, you use whatever you can to give you that extra little bit of motivation, right? For me, it was just always, I just couldn't stand their mentality towards wrestling. You know, I wanted to have fun wrestling. I wanted to get better. And, you know, I felt like when you're always told, you know, about sports, you know, like sportsmanship and all these things, and you know, this sounds corny, but, you know, when I feel like there was exception to the rule with that team up north sometimes, or I guess east, wherever you want to look at it. So I just always had this like chip on my shoulder about it. You know, I was just like, man, people look the other way with this team all the time. And I don't know, as a kid, it was hard to overlook that. Now that I'm an adult, there's, you know, there's obviously a certain level of respect there. But at the time, it was like, man, no way, right? So it's always been Iowa State. It's always been, you know, Cardinal Gold for me. And it is tough from time to time, you know. But I've been a fan my whole life. And I've been watching football games my whole life. I've been watching the Iowa State wrestling duel all my life. Shout out to my dude Nick Pasolano, because he's probably the reason why I have at least a blip of hope ever, right? When he couldn't pin Cole Pape. So you know, it's tough, but these colors don't run, you know. And I lived it. My dad lived it. My brother lived it. Kyvan lived it. We lived it, right? So it's not a game to us anymore. Like, it's not, and you know, people want to mess around all the time, like, go Hawks, Iowa State sucks. I'm not gonna laugh with you. I'm not gonna laugh. This is serious to me. So you know, it's a sport, but at the end of the day, like, that was never going to change. And at the time going into college, like Kyvan said, we wanted so badly to turn the tide with that. And I have some regrets. I'm sure Kyvan does too. I have some regrets just as how we led, right? We led strongly by example. I have some regrets. Maybe I should have used my voice more, because as a team, he's right. As a team, we were more talented than we showed very often, especially in that duel. So it was tough, but I always had the desire and the drive to turn things around for my school, right? That was always what it was about. It wasn't about me. It was about Iowa State. It's given me so much in terms of wrestling and in terms of legacy and all of that. And I wanted nothing more than to turn those tides, not for me or for anybody in particular, but just, you know, the whole legacy, the whole Iowa State legacy, everybody that came before me and after me. So, you know, it was always a big deal, but it was tough. You know, it's always been tough. But am I going to cry about it? You know, it's like, we got to get better. And finally, I think we're kind of in a position now as a team and looking down the lineup where that's a possibility. I just wish it would have happened when we were in school.
Well, good segue into Sunday's matchup. I use Intermat's rankings. Iowa's number 2, Iowa State number 10. So we got a top 10 matchup. Lot of really good individual matchups coming up. But, you know, before I guess we dive into, you know, some of the matches that we're really excited about, wanted to kind of get your guys' both opinion on just there seems to be some juice now in this rivalry. There seems to be, you know, built up tensions. There's a lot of hype here, not just here in the state of Iowa, but nationally. Just there's going to be a lot of really, really good wrestling on the mat on Sunday. But on top of that, like, you know, clearly these teams are not shying away from, you know, like Jacob Warner said earlier this week, we don't like them. You know, Dresser is still calling Tom and Terry names. You know, Tom was very clear about the fact that, like, hey, this is super important to us, to the state of Iowa, to the sport of wrestling. Mike, I'll throw it back to you. How do you feel about the juice and the intensity that's in the rivalry now that maybe hasn't always been there when looking back, you know, 5-10 years? It really seems like the last few years, you know, with what Coach Dresser has been able to build in Ames, things are fun, man. Like, things are fun. Like, sparks are flying here.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun. Now, I do want to preface, as an athlete, it was never not – that intensity was never not there. Now, obviously, okay. I understand as a fan, like, when you're looking from the outside, like, it can get pretty boring or stale if it's like, man, this duel is not even going to be close, and we're talking a week out from the duel, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people viewed it that way, you know. But as an athlete, it was always like – that intensity never left, right? But – now that I have been out of Iowa, you know, I was out of Iowa for 5 years before this last spring. Being able to take a step back and watch it from afar, you know, those first couple of years were pretty heartbreaking, right? And it's frustrating when it just seems like we're not gaining ground, we're not gaining ground. And now it's like, oh, like, this is a legitimate possibility to where, like, you know, and it shouldn't be that way, right? And I think that shows you kind of the reality, right? And when you step outside the bubble of a former athlete at the school, right, you take away your biases and you step outside of that vacuum, you realize, like, as a fan, this is the best time to be a fan of either one of these schools as far as this rivalry goes in years, probably, you know, almost 2 decades, right? So it's obviously something that we need, right? Wrestling needs it. Iowa needs it. You know, just this is a wrestling state, right? Well, what better way to put it on, right, than if you have a marquee matchup like this? Because, you know, if trends continued the way they were going, that kind of kills that marquee matchup. Now what do we have? You know, Iowa, you and I don't duel each other. So it's like, what do we really have to look forward to now? So for wrestling fans, the hardcores, the diehards in Iowa, I mean, it's huge. It's a big deal. And, you know, we obviously have the two programs to thank for that. But, you know, the athletes putting it on the line too. But, you know, I mean, if it went the other way, we wouldn't be talking about it like we are, right? So there's obviously some more excitement around it. And it's just – I hope all those kids, like, really soak it in, because once it's gone, it's gone. And you won't – no one's going to care about something you do for 7 minutes ever again unless you're – have a YouTube channel doing some weird stuff. But other than that, like, nobody's going to care about what you're doing more than right now. So I hope they soak that intensity in. One of the things that I think people make mistakes about is letting that juice, that excitement, like I was talking about earlier, like, turn into nervous energy. You know, you got to let that fuel you. So yeah, great memories. And I know it's going to continue to show here this year. So
100%. Kyven, quite literally a front row seat to last year's duel. Iowa ended up winning 22-11 after the team point deductions were finalized. But you were on the floor between the two teams, closer to the Iowa bench, but you got to be there yelling at each other and those guys going crazy and getting kind of a front row seat to the post-duel theatrics. And alluded to it a little bit earlier, but Austin DeSanto helping you out on the live call, right? Commentate that. Sparked one of my favorite shirts that's in my closet. Do you want the mic, buddy? What do you remember about that duel and just the intensity of it and, you know, 10,000 fans at Hilton? Like, what prevails when you think back to last year's duel?
I just think it was like there was a electricity in the building, and I think there was maybe energy is the more proper word, you know, like there was just a high level of energy. And I was there, you know, in a role for ESPN Plus. And so, like, I was trying to be as neutral as possible, given the circumstances and my, you know, full bias in the love for Iowa State that I have. I tried to do a decent job of commentating exactly what I saw and not go the other way or anything like that. But, yeah, it was heavy. And, I mean, I think Terry, you could hear Terry on the broadcast at some point, you know, like, I remember he, after Nelson won, he walked up literally in front of the broadcasting table and looks at me and goes, I'm broken. I'm just like, bro, like this has literally nothing to do with me. And then there were some other things that were like said, and it was just like, it was very, very wild. And like, for me, like I've always known the brands or seen them in, you know, some capacity, and the capacity I felt like I was in there as was ESPN capacity, not an Iowa State, not an Iowa capacity. And so I'm like, why are you bringing this energy to me? Like I can understand it if I'm like competing, whatever, like I welcome that because I can bring the same type of energy. And so there were some things that like had to be addressed, you know, post match. And I think the teams, you know, look to address some of that. And I think that makes for exciting. And it gives people a talking point, you know, and when people are talking about something, that means they're usually going to look to watch it or it's on their radars. And so I think that's the most exciting thing about where it's at right now is that there's people talking about it. It's on the radar. It's like, yo, like what's going to happen? You know, like, is there, you know, a potential upset on the brink? And even if Iowa State wins, I don't think it's an upset. I think Iowa State will have to just fully out wrestle, you know, the Hawks. And I would love to see that, you know, right now in 2022, because the last time it was, I think, close like that was 2018. It was like the day after AWL. It was actually the day Haven was born. So it was like 4 years ago today, where, you know, Gomez hit that lateral drop and possibly would have secured a pin if it was in a different, you know, venue. And so we want to see those guys go compete with that type of hunger, that type of energy. So I'm excited for it.
100%. I think when I think of, you know, Iowa State, the most recent iterations of it, I think of, you know, that first duel when Dresser's in charge and Iowa just kind of walked into Hilton and kicked him in the teeth. I think of the 1918 duel, which, you know, the one that you were just alluding to, where, you know, Iowa State wins a couple swing matches early. You know, Iowa gets hurt at 74. Sam Stoll has to walk out to the Imperial March and Russell Gannon Gremmel. And then DeSanto's fighting off his back to win the duel at 33. And then I think to last year's duel and just how much fun it was, and how everything's kind of teeing up to this year's duel, because that same energy, it's a lot of the same lineups. You know, there's a handful of new faces for Iowa, and a handful of new faces for Iowa State as well with some of the freshmen, and we'll dive into that. But yeah, I mean, you kind of hit on, you know, just kind of the thoughts that I had, that just like, you know, Iowa State is not scared anymore. And Dresser kind of alluded earlier this week that, you know, maybe they were a little bit when he first got there, but now they're not. Now they know that they can probably go toe to toe. You know, not probably, they can go toe to toe. And, you know, there's a lot of toss ups here. Like, there's a lot of toss up matches. You know, some you could argue, okay, let's lean Iowa State. Some you could argue, okay, let's lean Iowa. Which kind of leads into, you know, the next part of what I was hoping to ask you guys about. Of all the great matchups, you know, and I would argue that there's at least 10 great matchups that we'll see on Sunday. What which ones, and Kyvan, I'll throw this back to you, which ones are you most excited to see? Which, if you had to pick one?
I'm personally going to go 149.
I like
Miro Johnson versus Max Murin. I think it's a style clash in some capacities. And I think people have seen some of the struggles that, you know, Pinheiro has had in the past, and this is an opportunity for him to take a hold of that narrative, you know, and quiet that narrative. You know, last year, Pinheiro got the opportunity to go to the Penn State versus Iowa duel and experience, you know, what that crowd is like, how they're coming at him. You know, Carter Starace and him went to high school together. So, like, I'm sure they've had conversations about it. And Pinero's a young man that's extremely confident. And so I'm excited to see what version of him shows up, because I feel like that is one of those maybe swing matchups that you're talking about. But I'm super excited him, you know, because I think that match that he had the first week in college wrestling versus, you know, Gomez, I think some people feel like, oh, like that was a fluke, especially the way Gomez responded to that after, you know, like beating Yanni and then beating Sasso the way he did. So I think some people are like, oh, like, you know, like there's just a lot of things that were going on there. And so I feel like this is a statement opportunity for Pinheiro. And I think Murin, on the other hand, is going to be like, yo, like, I'm a grown man. Like, I'm not losing to a true freshman. And I think that's what you want to see, right? Like, and so you're going to see two people trying to, you know, farther their legacies and make it known that they're looking to be on that podium come, you know, March. And I think they're looking to be high up on it. So I'm excited about 49. And obviously, you know, the weight class I used to wrestle at.
100%. Yeah, no, 49, that and a lot of these other matchups, it could be very big when it comes to seeding in March, right? Like this, because this is the only time these guys are going to see each other. Then they'll go into the Big 10 and Big 12 schedules. And, you know, this could be a very important win for whoever ultimately comes out on top at that weight and at a handful of weights. Mike, if you had to pick one weight, and 149 is already off the board, what are you most looking forward to on Sunday?
So I went back and forth between 41 and 65, but I'm going to go with 65. That's the weight I wrestled in college. Got, you know, national champ David Carr, right, versus a freshman who, you know, for all intents and purposes, have been pretty impressive so far, right? He's been pretty impressive. So, you know, I guess it's just going to be able to – it's just going to – we're going to see, right? I mean, Carr is not bothered by – a place like Carver, right? He's not, I have to imagine, right? He's wrestled in a lot of environments. Okay. So I don't think that's going to be the like decider. But it's in the heart of the lineup, right? I mean, that's something that I always felt like that's a tough spot to wrestle in the lineup, because you could be coming off of five very disappointing matches from your teammates. And now you got to go try to pick that slack up. Right. And I've been there. Or, you know, your team can go on a heater and send you out feeling pretty damn good about yourself, because, you know, we've had five guys go out there and go out on their shields, right? So for me, it's important. I don't know if it's like necessarily what it's the most exciting match, but it's like it's that linchpin, right? That kind of match that can tip that energy, like Kyvan was talking about, that energy in the building. Like, can we tip it our way? And if there's going to be an opportunity to tip it, it's in that middle of the lineup, you know, and like we kind of talked about, you know, 57 being an option, but man, I mean, 65, you got two big names there. Right. And again, you know, Patty's like, he needs that statement win. Right. I think to me, that's what he's missing. Right. As far as like true blue welcome and coming out party, he's missing that statement win. This would be a hell of a statement win. Right. I mean, you got national champ, two-time All-American David Carr, and you got this kid who wants to make a name, right, in one of the biggest duels of the year and probably one of the biggest events they'll ever wrestle in, right? So to me, it's that one for all the reasons I just listed and so many more. Obviously, it's where I wrestled. I'm a big 65-pound guy. That's who I want to watch, right? But, yeah, you can't overlook that weight class.
Oh, no doubt. Interesting clash of styles there, too. You know, Patrick Kennedy's kind of a brawler. David, very, very technically sound, very quick, also very strong now that he's kind of filled into 65. And an interesting subplot to that weight specifically. I don't know how many people followed this, but I thought it was an interesting thing. So this past spring and summer, David goes the senior level route, takes, I believe, third at the World Team Trials after a Russell-off. And Patrick Kennedy won U23s running away. But because of USA Wrestling's new rules for the U23 world team, they give it to age eligible senior level guys first who are on the ladder. Well, David's third on the ladder. So he raises his hand and says, yes, I want to go to Spain. And Patrick Kennedy, who blew through the tournament at U23s, doesn't get a chance to go. So interesting little kind of underneath subplot there. But I agree, like super, super interesting matchup. I'm going to go with the weight in between them. I thought about 41, thought about 97, very excited for both of those. But 57 to me, super interesting because you got two guys who are long and lanky, who are funky, who are going to leg pass the hell out of each other. And they're both very volatile to the point where either one of them could pin the other. And that would be a massive swing to whoever maybe lands on top of that scramble, right? You got two guys here, Kobe Seabrecht from Iowa, who very, very big win last week over Penn, used his funk a little bit to roll through a headlock and pin Anthony Artilona. You got Jason Kreiser, who, you know, trying to find his way a little bit at 57. Looks like he's kind of established himself as that guy for Iowa State this year. But this could be another opportunity for him to, you know, if he's able to even, you know, snag a win, maybe not even as volatile as a pin, but if he's able to get a win here and kind of funk his way to a victory, another matchup that would be very huge in the middle of that duel or maybe at the end of the first half or whenever this matchup falls. Maybe a little bit lower profile than some of the others that we're expected to see, but one that's super intriguing to me. All the same, because like I said, at least 10 interesting matchups we're going to see on Sunday. Last thing that I wanted to ask you guys before we get out of here, I need a prediction from both of you guys on the record here on YouTube, here on this podcast. Mike, I'll start with you. Who wins? What's the score? And any final thoughts on it?
All right. Now, this might be a little homerism, but I even tried to throw some maybe results that we would not appreciate in there. But I wrote this all out before the show, so I came prepared. I have it 16-15, Iowa State.
Ooh.
I have it 16-15, Iowa State. The big ones, I have us winning an upset at 41.
Okay.
Because I love Casey Swiderski. That kid is my idol. And obviously, if you know, if he who must not be named is not back at 125, we need bonus at 25.
And I didn't realize happened. Spencer Lee was on Voldemort level now.
Yeah, well, he is this week. He can go back to being Spencer next week. I actually love Spencer Lee. I think that kid is an amazing human. But for this week, he's he who shall not be named. And again, if we get those bonus points at 25, which everything I've seen points to, we better. Then I see it 16-15 Iowa State. Now, obviously, I gave them some matches that maybe I don't truly believe. I gave us some matches that maybe I don't truly believe, right? I won't go through the whole thing, but 16-15, you can mark it.
All right. Okay. 16-15 Iowa State's one prediction. Kyvan, what you got?
Wait, I got to ask you a question first. What weight do you think we're starting at? Do you think
that matters? Yeah.
That matters. Are we starting at 25? Are they going to draw?
I think they're going to draw because I don't know that, you know, you guys would know more than me. The coaches have to come to an agreement on where to start at or they draw. That's the rule.
That used to be the rule.
Uh-oh. What changed?
From what I understand, the visiting team, basically, you either decide – because it used to be like you drew sticks.
Yeah.
Now, like, you either like, agree or the visiting team, like, you're just going to start at 25.
Well, I have a hard time believing that they're going to agree on something unless he who shall not be named is actually going to go and Tom has an ace in the hole.
I just don't see it. But
you don't see him going?
I don't. I mean, maybe. I mean, that'd be one hell of a way to raise some eyebrows. But that just historically, like, that just doesn't happen. They're never really like – there's no, like, you know, that's the Undertaker's music. Like, there's no, there's like, there's none of that really.
They did it with Sam Stoll, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, you're right, but I'm just saying historically, when you look at the stats, they don't do those gimmicks.
Yeah.
I feel like we would know ahead of time, and I have heard zero chirp. It's not even like there's been murmurs, you know, zero chirp about the possibility of him going. So I don't see it.
I think it makes him a legend if he goes. It makes him like – he's already a legend, you know, in his own right. But, like, it makes
it does.
Him larger than life if he goes.
It does. Like,
no, if he right. walks out there, everybody's just like – crouches. Right?
They would have to probably fix the roof.
Yeah, and yeah. then Iowa State pins him and 60-0 Iowa State, straight up.
Hey, man, that's why I love you, Kyrie.
Straight up.
Put it on the board. Put it on the board.
For the mob ties. Mob ties, bro. Yeah, like, yeah. 60-0 yeah. Iowa State. I'm too close. I will not speak on any of the guys that I shared the room with the last 5 years, you know, losing. So 60-0 Iowa State, baby.
60-0 Iowa State. All right. So we got 16-15. We have a barn burner, and then we have 60-0. So we have a lopsided blowout, both in favor of the Clones. I'm going to roll with, and this is bold because I'm on a show with two Cyclones. I'm thinking somewhere in the vicinity of 20-16 Iowa. I think the Carver advantage is real. I think both teams are going to lose matches that they shouldn't. Which also means both teams are going to win matches that they shouldn't. And I think everything's going to kind of cancel out. And I think Iowa gets it done. I don't know if that includes Spencer or not. I've had gut feelings all week, and I don't know if that's because I'm still fighting over a sinus infection or because
that's your illness.
But I'm very, very excited for the duel. I've been excited since the way last year ended. Are you both going to be there?
Yep,
I'm going to be repping Cardinal in gold. Or are you going to be hiding?
Bullying me into going. No, I'm gonna be repping.
I'm not gonna be wearing cargo and gold. I'm gonna be wearing orange.
Ah, dude. Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know if I own anything orange, but I'm gonna find something. That's
I'm going to. I'm going to Target. I'm going to Target, getting me a nice hoodie, nice orange hoodie. Amazon couldn't get the delivery prime in the day as I came up with the idea, but I'll be wearing orange, nice and bright. You'll know where I'm at.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Remind me. I need to run to Target and grab something.
I got you. Just let me know your size, bro. I'm going to be wearing 2X.
I can wear larger and XL. Doesn't matter.
I got you.
Don't matter.
That is spectacular. Guys, I appreciate you guys coming on the show today, talking some Cy-Hawk wrestling. And that's really all we've got today. Appreciate everybody tuning in, whether it was through your podcast feed or here on YouTube. We will be back sometime next week, maybe even Sunday, to maybe rehash a quick reaction to whatever happens on Sunday in Iowa City. But until then, be sure to rate and review the show wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe to the Des Moines Register and Hawk Central YouTube channels. Subscribe to the Des Moines Register to make sure that you guys don't miss any of our wrestling coverage this season. You can find links to do all of that, as well as stories from this past week, in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.